Welcome to the way freedom flies. I hope that you're all having a great day and be able to enjoy it. I know here where we are in Wisconsin, we're hitting some nice weather, so I'm enjoying that. We just got some rain yesterday, but you know, you need some rain there for your spring growth. But today we're not going to talk about the weather. We are going to talk about the craziness, the stupidity, and everything else that's happening in the world, along with how do we kind of correct it. You know, I've been listening to different things, and what are some prescriptions that we can do so that we can help clean this up at a faster pace? And that is one thing that over time we do need prescriptions of how we're going to be able to work and straighten things out, because there's a lot of things in this world that are wrong, that are not following God's kingdom path. Now, I think that in a lot of that, we're going to have to be partnering with God and God's calling for us, but we also have to execute and not be weak. We have to be strong. We have to take action. I mean, let's take a look at Trump's trial here. In everything Trump is doing right now in his sham trial with, what is it? I don't get what I stopped following a lot of these because I consider it extremely stupid. I'm just following if he's in court, if he's out of court, and what he's saying about it, not the minutia of how the judge is going through stuff, because a lot of that, with like the Stormy Daniels stuff, I think is just a rabbit hole that they're trying to chase him down on. In fact, the guy that proposed that law for what, the Gene Ellen thing or whatever, for going after old things, now he's been accused of stuff for that law too. So now he says it's unconstitutional. Beautiful, right? Absolutely beautiful. These people just don't think. But anyways, getting back to it. Following the Trump trial, remember, he went through and the judge said, you cannot talk at all. And Trump said, that's a First Amendment issue. Even the judge even said, take stuff down from his campaign website. How, what you get a letter from Biden's office, campaign office, before you decide to go on the stand every day to know what you have to do? This is stupid and crazy. In fact, let's go. In fact, what Trump then said is, no, I'm risking that you'll put me in prison for me standing up for my constitutional rights. I'm summarizing. I'm not reading exactly what he had put out there in Truth Social, but he's keeping it up. And so far, they have not decided not to put him in jail, because I think that this is a, you know, if this was one of us, I'm sure that the judge would have already threw us in jail. But I think he's walking a fine line with, you know, Democratic operatives, of trying to do as much damage as possible to the Trump campaign while trying to convict him. I feel like they think some things, but then they act as down a path of stupidity. I don't get what these Democrats are doing sometimes. Like I said, they could try to hire me. I'd be able to run a much better streamlined system for them. The only problem is that ethically I could never do it because my views do not align with theirs. But going through some of the stuff that's going on right now, you have them going down the path of, hey, you know, we need to inflict all this pain against Trump. The problem is that every single time we pull him up to a case and everything, he gets stronger. More people are on his side. So now they're trying not to throw him at this point, not into prison for saying something, because that would garner more support. More people go out. You know, I agree even more with him. Why are they doing this? This seems very corrupt. So they're trying to minimize it as well as maximize, trying to get him into prison, or trying to get him convicted to something. Do they go as far and a conviction to put him into prison. I think that that's the fine line. Like, sure, can we convict him and just make him pay a fine? I think that's what they're going for, right? They're trying to, same with Loretta James or whatever in New York. I don't remember. The one that's trying to seize Trump's assets. You know, he posts the 175. Now she wants to deny it because she wants to seize the assets, right? It's, yeah. So she's trying to keep it down, but that lower payment kind of got the news down, and now she's appealing and everything else. But it's a weird game that you'd be saying, well, if it was you or I, they'd be doing something different. They are trying to play this to garner the most votes possible. At least that's my take on it. For the Biden and for the Democrats, and they're trying to hurt Trump. The only problem is I see is people are talking about it as in, you know what, I support Trump in this. I don't want them going after me for something like this, right? People see themselves in Trump's position because it's the government attacking Trump. See, that's how it's taken. And when you have people that think the government attacked them, which is true, and you could be the government saying, no, we don't. Okay, here we go. Do you record anything about the government? Did you pass Congress and 702 FISA? Is there a spying on Americans? Is there any American that's on a list saying that, you know, maybe they should be watched or anything else? We know James O'Keefe is. So if there's, we'll take it a step further. IRS, 87,000 more IRS agents hired, right? Mike Johnson said we'll get rid of them. But people think they're being attacked all the time by the government, which is a very true statement by based upon what the government does, right? Increase taxes, put more burden on, have inflation. People have a connection to what is happening with Trump that not necessarily is in a direct correl or a direct, you know, exact case that is happening, like Trump's underneath, but it is a relationship of the attacking side of it, of what they would want to come after me for something. So there's a relationship here and a relatability that, you know, Trump, you know, and what he's done in the past, maybe people weren't able to relate, but now you have that relatability. And continuing on top of that, you have what Trump did in the last 4 years, which everyone now knows that, hey, there is a better option than what there is currently. So that you have direct relationship to what happened previously. I was didn't have this inflation. I had a better scenario. Economically, there was better scenarios of less stupidity going around at colleges. There was not all these new wars. So you understand that. And then at the same time, you also see Trump going through a prosecution, which seems frivolous and multiple ones, and that you can see that the government could attack you based upon what their prior actions are and what they even voted on here recently. Of the more spending, of more stuff like this, which you don't agree with. So now you're building up Trump more and more based upon your economics, based upon the wars that are going around the world, based upon more money to Ukraine, and people not wanting to do this. And people are like, this is not what we need. You know, and even we go as far as restricting trade with China on like chips and everything else. You know, while there may need to be some of that, and that could be another thing we could get into, what is interesting is a lot of the tariffs that seem to be against China have not ratcheted up or decreased in some areas, so that then it seems like you're more friendly to China, where, and then this manufacturing side of things, where you're pushing electric cars, and people in those industries now are losing jobs because there's not a lot of electric cars that people are buying, right? They're sitting on lots, and all these car manufacturers are doing there, but then they're also moving their manufacturing to different countries, and people are looking for work. So you're having a downturn on the cooked books already that the government has, And people are wondering, when is my pay going to catch up to inflation? When is the ability for me to get ahead going to happen? And they remember with Trump, we were starting to get ahead. So you have things like this that can be able to do. And the deficit spending, which we want to stop. Remember, Trump, a couple times, shut down the government to get certain things done. Now, I think he should have went a step further, but they did throw COVID at him and stuff like this. The one thing that Trump did economically, the people are always like, we have to lower spending, we have to lower spending. While I agree with that, and that, you know, spending money is inflationary, that can be true too. But what is, people look at it as a binary and not a equation. And I think that a lot of this stuff is more black and white. It's not a gray area. It's an equation. And you have to be able to go through and calculate that equation. And one side of the equation here with that is you put tariffs on other countries to help your local economy rise up and increase that GDP number to be able to help. Now, if another country is going to have, you know, GDP and everything else, or have tariffs, GDP, whoops, tariffs and everything else, this is one way to combat it. You know, a lot of the tools that we have and that were there, you know, with taxes and everything else, you know, we've kind of walked it through, and there's a history of this. We are not the saviors of every other country. After World War II, the United States took a lot of took a big hit on helping supply everybody else, which maybe for the time made sense, but we are well past World War II at this point and the end of World War II. We need to move away from that. You know, you think, look at certain things, NATO, right? They're not paying their fair share. You'd be like, they're still coming up. But is NATO still a function of what it needs to be? It's moved so far west, it's out of its original construction. Does it even make sense anymore? I think that if we went to something and stopped NATO, you could go to country alliances. You know, not everything's going to be there. I mean, we're paired up with Germany. They don't have the best history of being able to do stuff. And people will say, well, Germany's really remorse. Okay. Japan? Turkey? Turkey's in there. They're not exactly friendly to the United States. Is that really a country you want in NATO? The UN, has the UN ran its course? Is this whole WHO, World Health Organization, are they really in the best interest of the people, or are they really in the best interest of what they can control? There seems to be, if we're flipping the bill for everything, why is it an organization? Why isn't it just something that we have? And then you can go to enumerated powers and everything else. But you need that kind of, you need to approach things as in, is this actually needed? I think that we've talked about the debt spiral a little bit of what we're getting into, but there's ways out of it, right? We look at Argentina, what they did, and look at their currency strength of what it's been doing. It's one of the top strengthening currencies out there right now. Why? They took a hammer to things and said, we're going to fix it. And there's some things that just need to be destroyed so that we can take that material and build up the other parts that are required and that are actually sanctioned or actually enumerated. Let's put it that way, into a U.S. type of term. Why can't we do that? I mean, states, we're going through, you know, here in Wisconsin, we got a surplus and all Governor Evers wants to do is spend it and the Republicans want to give it back to taxpayers, right? Well, if it's a standstill, it's a standstill. I get it. I'm fine with that. But you push for the cuts to wherever it needs to be. You push to the property tax cuts. You push towards, you know, reducing whatever other taxes are out there. I think a lot of this should, let's go and break out more taxes on the things. What do I mean by that? I mean that we should get rid of, you know, these property taxes and stuff like this. While you could say, well, if you live in the area, they may come back for schools and everything else. If you use public service, well, I don't, right? I don't use these schools in my area. I homeschool, so I'm paying a tax for that for, you know, schools that I'm not a part of. And if you're the part of in the area, you're like, it's cost. No, I mean, at some point, we're going to have to eliminate the property tax. It's just a useless tax. You get taxed on something even if you own it. This is pretty dumb stuff. I can argue, are there arguments about it, but look into it. I think you get rid of it. But what do you want? Every local area, why don't we have, you know, a school tax or something like that? And then they can vote on how they can use their money and go from there of these school districts, right? You could say, well, that creates a lot of districting of tax. You could have something, you know, for a county if you wanted to. You already have county tax here. You also have city taxes in areas. There's a lot of calculations already to be able to have that. It's not like it's a hard thing to do anymore. This is all built in, but you could then have that even something you vote for if you want to increase or decrease and go from there. I mean, there's been stadium taxes here in Wisconsin. I'm sure other places have had stadium taxes as well. You could have, you know, they have a sales tax here in Wisconsin. Well, what happens if, you know, some of that property tax is out of this, or if some of the property tax goes into the sales tax, right? There are certain things where the sales tax or the property tax is a given quantity always, right? And it's based upon, you know, hokum property values. But I think more importantly, you put it into a sales tax. And then from the state side of things, if they're breaking up this money for schools or whatever else, it is a item that you have and that you're able to deal with, and that you can be able to say, we're going to spend more money here than everything else, because they're already giving, you know, income that they have from the state into there. I think that you take it a step further, you also get rid of the income tax. I'm just out here just talking about in general how you kind of break through and change things, and how you think outside the box. And why do we want to always think outside the box? Because you never know when there's going to be a breakthrough of something that we get better. And I personally think we should try some of this stuff and break it out into different areas. You know, let's get rid of the income tax. Let's go to a sales tax model. We already have states that have done that and they've been successful. They have a little bit higher sales rate. But in the end, it seems like you keep a lot more of your money in a lot of these scenarios. One, you don't have to be buying everything. You can determine of, you know, the government's doing good, I'll buy some stuff this year. The government's not doing good, I guess I'm not buying anything. I'm just thinking I'm going to be a little bit tighter. And if more people tighten up, they'll be like, oh, we're having a tighter budget or tighter amount of income. I like to even see this at a federal level. Herman Cain had the 999 plan. Bless his heart. He had, you know, when he was running for president, I was really liked what he had to say. And he even had a plan afterwards. Most people know about the 999 plan. They don't know about the step after it, right? 9% income, 9%. It was 9% on three taxes. And what I liked about this is that that plan was then converted over to basically like a sales tax afterwards. But you get into that, you get into these fixed rate of taxes, and guess what? There's a lot more you can do and with this, and it's a lot more transparent, because every single time you buy something, you're going to see what that tax is. And you can have exemptions, right? I know Minnesota has an exemption for, I think they still do, clothing on their tax, on their sales tax, where in Wisconsin we charge sales tax on clothing, right? You could exempt food, right? You can do these different things, whether it's a state or from a federal level. And you also enable people to be able to be not so, they keep more of their money in their pockets initially, and then determine how that they want to spend it. Determine, you know, based upon what it is with sales tax or whatever else, but also they can put the determination of if it is worthwhile. Rather, you're putting them in a more choice perspective of things, and that's even with property taxes, taking that away, making it more of a sales tax, or, you know, if you want schools, let's say there's, you know, well, Illinois has tolls, right? That's a road tax. You have different things that you can do to be able to promote this. And I like all of these items. I like to see a lot of them tried. I like to see a lot more changes in this. And so that we kind of see, you know, what works, what needs to be adjusted. How do we, you know, reduce? My main goal is to make sure that we reduce the tax burden on the American public and businesses. They could have a profit tax or a revenue tax, whatever you want their numbers of, hey, you make this much revenue, it's this much tax. You know, a fixed tax rate would be actually great. And not one progressive, but I think one that gets lower. And what happens is that we don't have like levels like we have now where we have, or like the waterfall cliff kind of. But what we have is that it's basically a flat rate. So you're incentivizing not only the people to go out and make more money and not have to worry about what tax bracket they go into, not complicating their taxes, but they go out and buy stuff and they know, I've just created all this income. I go and I will be paying sales tax on this, and you incentivize more of go out and buy things, go out and, you know, grow. You can spend your money, you have your money, you know, more of a freedom type mindset. And then on the business side of things, you drop that rate lower and you don't have these cliffs or everything else. You don't have all this complicated tax code. It reduces the tax code, right? You put it in simple, reduces or eliminates the IRS, eliminates a lot of these other things that you have for revenue. You're just collection, and it's a lot on the sales tax. So you got, you know where it's all coming. You don't have to have these checks and balances all the time. Or not really balances, these stealing aspects all the time. And then what you do is you go in and because of the incentivization is that these companies will want to grow and build out more and make more money because they're not worried about a cliff of where they hit another tax bracket or something else, or have to go through another whole, you know, hire another couple people just to read the tax code. And I think that this aspect of it is a overlooked one. And I hope that people are going to be able to start going through and being like, you know what, maybe I change this up a little bit. Maybe I go through and do something else. Maybe let's take a bigger look at this. You know, Speaker Mike Johnson is one that agrees with the Democrats a lot, it seems like. And the Democrats now are going to protect him, right? A lot of useless worded, the Republicans are very good at using useless worded letters. Strongly worded letters to people and without any results, right? You know, Mike Johnson has gone in, you know, and now, you know, he said Trump has done nothing wrong, or that was yesterday. And you're going to see Congress address this in every possible way. What are you talking about? You knew this. Why are you just starting now? The Biden administration is weaponing the justice system against Trump? Yeah? And he's talking about his election interference? It's borderline criminal conspiracy? American people see right through it. It has to stop? Yeah. You had an option to start stopping it with voting on with removing the 702 FISAs. You didn't do it. I think that's on you, Mike Johnson. You know, he's talking about the America borders. Congress must act to protect our federal elections so that there's no voting. So he wants the SAVE Act. He had an option. He said that he was going to work on our border before the Ukraine's, and yet he passed money for Ukraine before our border. You had the upper hand here. If you were so worried about this and your border and the SAVE Act and everything else about voting, you tell the Democrats, well, you got to pass the voting and you have to pass the border stuff. And you have to execute this. Or you could have just said, Biden, you have to reinstate everything Trump did and you have to pass the SAVE Act, or we are not going to even consider the Ukraine-Israel package whatsoever. or especially the Ukraine one. That was your negotiating tactic. You know, he says he's a Christian. He says that he is, you know, up there. I don't know about you, but God wasn't laying down himself and being trampled over. Time and time again, I've been going through and, you know, reading the Bible and everything else. But time and time again, I'll tell you one thing. Oh, my goodness. God even got upset with Moses. God wasn't going to be trampled. God wasn't going to be lay down and get ran over. He stood up for himself, and he still does. Jesus did. Tipped over tables in the temple. Made sure that the Pharisees knew that that was wrong. But what do we do? What does Mike Johnson do? What do the Republicans do? We have to go through and make sure we stand up for ourselves. We all have to have a baseline of something. We have to go through and have a baseline of something. Otherwise, you will stand for nothing. I mean, what is it? H.R. 690, they try to pass the anti-Semitic conspiracy theory and hate speech, right? Which takes part of the Bible and basically makes it hate speech or whatever else. There is no reason to pass a lot of this stuff. There is no reason to do it. We already have, you know, the freedom of speech. Let's just have it. I mean, this is just simple stuff, I think. This is just, you know, what should happen. But we're going down and a path where we have people that we need to go into and be that are willing to fight and willing to stand up and know that if they, how do I put this? That if they're going to do the right things, if they're going to stand up for themselves, if they're going to be in politics, they will 100% do what is right. They will 100% go against the grain to make sure that they have they put the best foot forward and that they help out making sure that they stand on the word of God to do what is right. Politics aren't the absentness of religion. Politics need religion because you need to have a moral compass and you need to have a guiding force in your life to make sure you make the right decisions. If you are going to remove religion from yourself and from government, it's no wonder you make a bad decision. And you have bad policies. And then you have a bad government. Having God in you creates a higher looking that you have, that you look up to know where you can be grounded and where you have to go because of what you believe. With that, I want to thank you guys for listening to The Way Freedom Flies. I am blessed here that you've been able to stay with me for today and listening to The Way Freedom Flies podcast. I do really do appreciate it. I am praying for everybody out there. And until next time, don't forget to, you know, send me an email if you want, The Way Freedom Flies @proton.me. And God bless.